Welcome to ID the Future. This is Casey Luskin broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Today we have on the show with us Dr. Cornelius Hunter, a fellow of Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. He's a graduate of the University of Illinois with a PhD in biophysics and computational biology. He's also an adjunct professor at Biola University and William Jessop University and the author of the award-winning book Darwin's God, Evolution and the Problem of Evil. I suspect that ID the Future listeners are familiar with some of his other books, like Darwin's Proof and Science's Blind Spot. We have Dr. Hunter on the show with us today to continue a discussion of his new website on Darwin's predictions, or maybe I should say the failed predictions of Darwinian theory. So, Dr. Hunter, thank you for coming back on the show.
Thank you, Casey. Appreciate it.
Great. So we want to talk about your website. In the first podcast, we talked about sort of the idea of how does a theory make predictions? Are predictions important? Where can predictions be overstated, with the importance of them being overblown sometimes? But I'd like to continue this conversation today about some of the actual predictions you have on your website. The first one is you say that the DNA code is not unique. How does that implicate a failed prediction of Darwin's theory?
Well, yeah, this is a very interesting one, Casey, and it has to do with the fact that the DNA code is universal, or at least near universal. So essentially, all the species share the same DNA code. In fact, every single one of our cells, every cell on the planet, living cell, has the DNA code built into it. And that right there is an immense complexity problem for the theory of evolution. How could that have evolved? But that's another issue for now. For now, the question is, the code is universal, it's across all the species, and from an evolutionary perspective, that means it must have been present at the first life, what they call the last universal common ancestor. So the last ancestor that led to all life must have had that same code that we have today. That's a natural, necessary consequence of the observation that we have that it's universal. According to the theory of evolution, it must have been there at the beginning, at the base of the tree of life, so to speak. So it must have evolved early on, before you had mammals, reptiles, fish, birds, before you had multicellular life, before you even had sophisticated unicellular life. It was a crude, early cell that would have had the complete full-blown DNA code. So there really wasn't the sorts of challenges and species around that would have needed a unique DNA code or an optimized DNA code. The time was short, relatively speaking, and the requirements in terms of the species requirements would have been minimal. So what evolutionists believed, naturally, was that it was just simply kind of a random code that evolved, just kind of a one code amongst many, not a special code, not an optimized code. And so Francis Crick, Nobel Prize winner, famously called it a frozen accident. His meaning was that the accident means that it was just basically a random code that evolved. The frozen part means once it evolved, it couldn't change after that, because any change would have just wreaked havoc on the organism. Okay, so there you have it. A code that's not optimized, not special, not particularly unique, evolves by accident. That's the prediction. Well, what's the finding? What does the data tell us? Well, the code is actually a very special code. It isn't just any old code. It isn't just a random code. It's in many, many ways, it has special, unique properties, and we're still finding out more about the code. Initially, we found out that simply, it, like the Morse code, it optimizes the throughput. You know, in the Morse code, you have the dits and the dashes, and for the most commonly used letters, like A and E and I, you have shorter codes. Only a dot or only a dash is used. They minimize the length of the code for the commonly used letters. So you want to make it easy on the operators and minimize the use of the transmission line. Well, there's a similar property of the DNA code. It has more codons assigned to the more frequently used amino acids. That's the first most obvious piece of data that kind of jumps out at you, but there's much, much more to that. In particular, the error checking and error correcting sorts of qualities that the code has make it very unique and a very special code. So the prediction has failed. There's just no way around it. It's a failed prediction. Evolutionary theory led us to believe one thing and found out something very, very different. And there's plenty of research papers, peer-reviewed papers that explore the DNA code today and talk about these various properties.
That's fascinating, Dr. Hunter. What about your next prediction, which says that the cell's fundamental molecules are universal? Is this a valid prediction of Darwinian evolution?
Yeah, so what are the cell's fundamental molecules? So along with the DNA code, there are a whole range of molecular agents at work and processes at work. So you have the DNA molecule, of course. You have RNA molecules. You have the copying or transcription of the DNA in order to make the RNA. You have replication of the DNA in order to duplicate the entire genome when you want to have cell division and create a new cell. A lot of mechanisms ongoing and molecular players ongoing in executing these tasks. And our initial studies and findings regarding these processes were that they're all the same across the different species. You look at a bacteria, you look at a human, you've got this same sort of DNA structure, same RNA, same DNA replication and transcription, same protein synthesis sorts of machinery, or at least similar. So evolutionists saw this as a wonderful confirmed prediction. So they hailed it as a great victory for evolutionary theory. And that's often a good way to judge whether or not these are legitimate predictions is when evolutionists actually judge the prediction to have been fulfilled. That obviously was a prediction, and it's a legitimate prediction if evolutionists are claiming that it was. But if we look under the hood and with further research, what we find is that it really isn't so. There are several nuanced differences that are actually crucial and very important. So the way that the DNA is replicated, and in particular the proteins that execute these tasks, are not related. They differ in the different kingdoms of life. So you actually have some very significant, interesting differences that falsify what was hailed as a fulfilled prediction. The prediction actually turns out to be false.
Yeah, Dr. Hunter, I mean, we hear this argument quite a bit, people talking about the unity of biomolecules throughout life and saying that this is evidence that we all evolved from a common ancestral cell and that all life evolved with the set with modification from a common ancestor. But the reality is there are a lot of differences out there. And I think really those kinds of claims were made when we knew very little about the diversity of different types of organisms that exist. And the more we learn, the more we're finding that life actually can take on lots of different unique modes of existence. So maybe this is one of those times when evolution sort of was driving the science rather than the data was driving the science.
Yes, and that's okay to a certain extent. You do want to formulate theories and follow them through and make a tentative assumption that it's true for the purpose of testing and guiding some research, nothing wrong with that. But isn't that the beauty of science? You get the first peek and you get the first look, but there's always more. There's always the peeling back of the onion and finding the more nuances, more detailed findings. And in many of these cases, that's where things get really interesting. In many of these predictions, the initial look was conforming to evolutionary theory, but it quickly broke down. And this is one of those examples. As you mentioned, you have the evolutionist hailing the success of the prediction, but it was rapidly followed by the findings that, in fact, falsified that very prediction.
Okay, well, Dr. Hunter, this is fascinating stuff. We're going to continue with more discussion of some of Darwin's failed predictions in another podcast. But for now, where can ID the Future listeners find a link to your website about Darwin's predictions?
Right, so right on my blog. I do have in the upper right-hand corner there, there's a link to this page that they can go to. So you can Google Cornelius Hunter, Darwin's God, and that will lead you to my blog. You can find that link in the upper right corner.
Okay, that's great. And you can also just go to the blog directly at www.darwins-god.blogspot.com. So Dr. Hunter, thanks for coming back on the podcast with us again.
Thank you, Casey. My pleasure.
Okay, well, don't go away. Stay tuned for more with Dr. Cornelius Hunter on failed predictions of Darwin's theory of evolution. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.